Happy Pride Month and welcome to Out in the Bay. Queer Radio, I'm Christopher Beal. This week, I'm outside 575 Castro Street here in San Francisco. That address may not be familiar to you, and that's fine, but to a generation of San Franciscans, this was Harvey's place. I'm talking about Harvey Milk, the late gay rights leader and politician. He lived upstairs and ran a camera shop in this storefront below. In the years since Harvey's assassination, this store has continued to be sort of a gay pilgrimage site for LGBTQIA folks. It was one of the first places I visited the first time I came to San Francisco. Back then, it was the HRC store. That's the Human Rights Campaign. And they were here for 16 years. The Trevor Project also had a call center in this building. But all of that stopped last April when HRC moved out. With the exception of a display on the history of the rainbow flag in the window, the storefront sat empty for about a year. But if you've walked by this spot recently, you may have noticed that things are starting to spring back to life at 575 Castro Street. Something new is moving into Harvey's old camera shop. Something queer. And I'm gonna take you inside.
The genesis of all of this was actually a photo show that I was supposed to mount March 13th, 2020, which obviously did not happen, but it was the day I met my boyfriend, so things work out the way that they do.
Meet the team working to bring art and community back into Harvey Milk's historic camera store and hear the love story that started it all.
The main point of the space is to get as much money back to the artists who are showing as possible.
Today, Out in the Bay.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Fadi.
Hi, Fadi.
Thank you so much
for waiting. All good, all good.
Welcome to Queer AF.
That's Devlin Shand.
I'm a multidisciplinary artist, I guess you would say. I'm a photographer and a jewelry maker and a performer sometimes. And I am also a founder at Queer Arts Featured, Queer AF.
And his boyfriend.
I'm Fadi Sala. I am a change manager by profession, helping people adopt new ways of working. And I'm a co-founder here at Queer Arts Featured.
And we are a three-person team. We created this together with our other founder, Erica Pappas, who is an incredible arts therapist and artist. She's got some work on the walls as well. And she has been a driving force and an integral inspiration during our creation process here.
This trio has created a unique art space in the Castro that opens to the public on June 10th. But I want to go back a little further because the journey to opening Queer Arts Featured starts with a love story.
March 13th, 2020, I was supposed to have a series of photos go up in a studio in Soma. That obviously did not occur, and I was pretty put out by that day. So I was like, well, I might as well, I don't know, meet a boy. So I went on Grindr. You know, it can just be like opening the fridge and seeing the same bottle of ketchup you've seen a million times. But there was a new boy in the neighborhood.
We did meet on Grindr.
And he was like, you know, I just moved here. I'm just trying to make friends.
I gave him my number and I told him I'm actually leaving this app.
If you want to hang out, you can call me. And I did. I called him. And so we met up and I pulled my big move. I took him on a Vespa tour of San Francisco.
He was wearing like a little scarf around his neck.
We spent the whole day together, which was very unexpected for both of us, I think.
I almost blew off the Vespa going across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Did he almost die or is he being dramatic?
Oh, I didn't notice.
Sounds like a yes to me.
He was fine.
It was unexpected to be together for 12 hours on a first date, and then we continued this kind of unexpected series of events.
As the pandemic came crashing down around us. We were both lucky enough to be in situations living a block and a half from each other where we could still see each other. We took walks all over the neighborhood. We explored every nook and cranny of every park and fell in love.
Which culminated in this. Like 2 years ago, I didn't think I would be opening this art gallery boutique space with my now live-in boyfriend and our very good friend, Erica Pappas.
So how long have you two been together now?
Since March 13th, 2020.
Yeah, so I guess over 2 years.
Wow. The guys would go on to create Queer Arts Feature, this space for other queer artists to showcase their work. But in my view, what they're actually creating is community. Like, it's a place to gather. And I think they've done a really good job. I'm gonna take you inside Queer Arts Featured in the Castro for a tour with its founders next, out in the Bay. You know, it's Pride Month, so it's a good time to mention that Out in the Bay is part of Give Out Day. It's this national online Pride Month fundraiser. Out in the Bay is an independent nonprofit production, which means we depend on listener support, listener donations from people like you in order to be able to continue to share LGBTQIA stories. Contributing via Give Out Day helps Out in the Bay earn these bonuses based on the number of donors who give any time during the month of June. So even $5, if you give by June 30th, can have quite an impact on our operation here. We would really appreciate you giving. You can learn more and chip in on Out in the Bay's website. That's outinthebay.org. Thank you and happy Pride. Devlin and Fatty met in 2020, and after a whirlwind first date.
I took him on a Vespa tour of San Francisco.
He's wearing like a little scarf around his neck.
They fell in love, moved in together, and along with their friend Erica, founded Queer Arts Featured, or Queer AF, inside Harvey Milk's old camera shop. That's at 575 Castro Street in San Francisco. Devlin and Fatty gave me a private tour of the space ahead of their June 10th opening.
So the space is really kind of three spaces. It's the front here. We wanted the whole space to feel a bit like home, basically. And we have the living room area here. So we've sourced different pieces of secondhand furniture from almost every neighborhood in San Francisco. So there's a lot of the whole city here. And then we have in the middle a local vendor arts boutique. So we have currently 22 or 23 different vendors, all queer local artists, many of whom have never had their stuff in a brick and mortar space. So we're really excited to be able to show off and showcase the work of people, you know, who have just been doing the work and haven't necessarily had somewhere to put it before.
Is that part of the idea of the space?
That's the foundational ethos of it, really, is to give space to people who, you know, to queer people who have not had it traditionally or historically or just currently, you know, emerging artists and disenfranchised artists and artists who are underrepresented, because arts is such an integral part of San Francisco and the resources have been dwindling and dwindling. And so we just got really lucky to have the opportunity to do this and we wanted to share it with everybody. The main point of the space is to get as much money back to the artists who are showing as possible. So we definitely have more work to do. We're about halfway to our goal, but generally people have been, it's been such a wonderful variety. Like we've had people give $5 and we've had someone give $10,000. So it's in some ways representative of, you know, what people can do in San Francisco, because there are lots of people who can do a lot and lots of people who can do a little, but we've seen representation from all of them, which we've been really grateful for.
And there's something unique about how you're handling the sale of art here in the space as well. Can you talk to that really quick?
Yeah, so in the spirit of really trying to uplift these artists and provide or, you know, promote access, we are giving 80% of the profit to the artists. That's, so we take a 20% commission, which is half of the standard 40%. And that is really kind of central to the ethos of what we're doing. We have to, you know, figure out how to be able to give the majority of profit back to the artists that are showing, and also find a way to keep the lights on.
Yeah, so we are toying with the idea of creating a potentially a nonprofit or partly a nonprofit to support that end, because, you know, 20% unfortunately is not commercially viable actually. So it would be great to have that influx of funds, especially for programming, and to cover some of those costs. You know, it would be ideal to maintain that 20% or at least something below market to bring folks in. But yeah, it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, but I think that's sort of when we decided that this was the vein we were going in, or this was the route we were taking, that the reason we wanted to share it with so many people is because living in the Bay Area as an artist is so difficult now. Resources are low, and so to open an art space where, you know, we're taking our cut, and it's very important to us that we try and provide something that is more beneficial to the artists than other options, or, you know, has a plethora of avenues to go down as an artist that allows you the most exposure and the most financial benefit from being here. So in the realm of it feeling like home, we wanted to have the front is the living space, the middle is sort of like the dining room, kitchen or deli area, like our display case is very reminiscent of a deli case.
So. Is that not an actual deli case?
It may at one point have been. we're going to go with that.
But no, it does have kind of a kitchen feel. And of course, we know that despite our best intentions at every house party, most people end up in the kitchen and not the living room. So this feels open and kind of like the gathering spot.
Yeah, and we wanted to make sure that while people were in the kitchen, they had things that they could buy.
That's very important. Describe to me what's on this wall, because it's like a cacophony of things.
Oh, yeah. We should have just named the store Cacophony, really.
Then you'd owe me a percentage.
That part, you know. So all different kinds of things. We have these beautiful rose candles from Gemini Moon Botanicals. We have some stoned and eyed pin buttons from an artist called Oscar, who goes by Candy Coven. I have some of my own jewelry on the shelf, which is all vintage repurposed. And I do a lot of work with bullet casings and things like that, taking old pieces and turning them into new things. We have some beautiful prints. We have and some like lovely collage work. We have pieces by Dorian Katz, who goes by Poppers the Pony, who is this like fun, kinky little pony who does all kinds of nasty, fun little things. And then we've also got some beautiful.
Fatty, was nasty, fun little things the right descriptor?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. You need to see her adult coloring book.
Yeah, the adult coloring book on the coffee table is worth taking a look at for sure.
Okay, noted.
And then we've also got some really beautiful clothes. We have some hand embroidered and painted jackets by Anthony Anchundo. We have these like bear tank tops and t-shirts by Bear Pad. They do all kinds of fun graphic work centered around the bear community. We've got these beautiful like peignoirs and screen printed sweatshirts from St. Jubilee. A lot of really beautiful leather work from our friend Jimothy, who works Chi Styles, which is actually San Francisco and San Diego based.
Wow.
Yeah, it is a cacophony indeed.
How many artists are represented in this space right now, like as you prepare to open?
Right now, I think we have, I don't know, 15 to 20?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. It's been a whirlwind.
And they're all, for the most part, local, yeah?
They are all local, yeah. This thing is absolutely incredible. We have, Candy Coven, who does those buttons over there, does a lot of stoning of different animal skulls and weird different sort of curio objects. So we have this giant, like, 5-foot bull skull that's covered in pearls and rhinestones, and the horns are gold leafed. We love it on the table, but it was stabbing people at the soft opening, so we're gonna put it on the wall.
How did the soft opening go?
It was really, really lovely. It was meant as a thank you, really, because the people that we had in the space were really the ones who've made it happen, either the vendors themselves, the main artist in the back gallery, which we'll get to, and then the people who gave a certain amount of money. We really wanted them to see where that was going and what their contribution has done to make this happen.
behind this sort of kitchen space, there's a very big open space that looks to me to be an art gallery. How did I do?
Yes, you did good, because no home is replete without an art gallery, obviously. We are in process. We want to separate the space. We're going to have a big curtain, so that this is kind of like a bit of a reveal. So it's the gallery / theater, two things every home should have. So this is our, you know, this is the baby in terms of, we will be doing a rotating monthly gallery show. Right now we have one featured artist. In the future it will be a group of anywhere from 2 to 5 artists on the walls showcasing their work, many of whom who have never shown again. So it's about like just giving people the opportunity to put stuff up on the walls and have the Castro see it.
So like right now there's kind of an aesthetic happening back here. Are you also curating based on a look and a feel and finding things that are cohesive? Like, is this also kind of like your baby from a curation standpoint as well?
Always, darling.
I sensed it. You have pride in your eyes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we have an aesthetic for sure. And the beautiful thing is that the three of us all really have nicely melded aesthetics. I think what we said when we started sourcing furniture is that we're going for a Victorian mid-mod 80s deco vibe.
You nailed it. That's it.
Thank you.
Talk a little bit about this being Harvey Milk's camera shop, like, and what that means to trying to create a queer art space here. Because, like, I mentioned this to you before we started recording, like, this space has an energy. And so just talk about why this space.
Well, the genesis of all of this was actually a photo show that I was supposed to mount March 13th, 2020, which obviously did not happen. But it was the day I met my boyfriend, so things work out the way that they do. So, you know, when things calmed down and I really wanted to show this work or just, you know, get some work out there, I had a friend who was like, well, the camera store is open, wink, wink, nod, nod, camera store, you're a photographer. And I never in a million years thought that we would be able to work something out, but we connected with the people who manage the space and they were amenable to it being a gallery. And I really thought about what this space is, and aside from or in addition to it being a camera store, it was a central hub during the gay rights liberation movement for young gay men who were coming from all over the country who didn't have space, who didn't feel seen, for them to find community, for them to organize, to rally around Harvey, to rally around a cause, and to have space, which I already said. But that was the evolution of this. We wanted to take that vibe. We wanted this space to be activated again as a space for queers, this time artists, to be seen, to have some support, to have an opportunity to connect and commune and to like connect with the greater community.
Do you feel like there's still some of Harvey's energy here?
I mean, always, it's in the walls. Yeah, but I mean, I think we've been really energized, and even on the days when it's hard, when you know, we're three people with full-time jobs trying to start something that we've never done before, but there is something about being here that just kind of pushes you forward. It's like, you know, this is what you're doing, and there's that little hand on our backs, and it feels really good. And it feels really good from a historical standpoint, but also from a future standpoint. We're thinking about who we want to reach, and there the other hand on our backs, you know, is like really evolving what this space was into what we need now.
Queer Arts Featured as it's set up now is gorgeous, but it's important to note that the team only have a short-term lease on the space. 2022 is a make or break year for Queer AF.
Our lease started officially May 1st, but we just got it extended through the end of the year. So we're here for the holidays.
For your Christmas shopping.
For your holiday shopping.
Yes.
Of all denominations. Something right. For everyone.
Does that give you a sense of relief to know you have a little bit more time? Because if you've moved in May, you've had, you know, a month of just getting the space ready. How does that feel to know you've been able to, at the very least, kick the can down the road a little longer?
It feels great. It feels right. It feels, you know, especially since were we not to have that, it would probably sit vacant for the last 2 months of the year. So we're really, really excited and grateful to be able to build on it, because that's the other thing, is we have so many ideas and so many plans and so many events that we want to host, as far as different workshops and panels and really like providing educational, informational work for artists as well. We have a lot in mind. And so to know that we have a couple of extra months to work on that and not stress about where we can do it is, it means a lot. It's wonderful.
I think that it's important for us to put out to the universe what we want. What is your goal with this space? If everything works out exactly the way you hope, what's the future for this space beyond that lease?
We want it to be an invigorated and vibrant space for people to always know is here, to come in if they want to pick up a slutty coloring book or, you know, attend an event where they learn something about arts business or have a heart circle.
For me, it would be about sustainability, that we can get the space to be both, you know, commercially viable, but also artistically viable and a space of intersection. The cool thing about this space is the fact that we are also able to collaborate with other art galleries. A good friend of ours, Sam Carmel, just launched Liminal Spaces, which is a trans-centering art gallery. So there's also the collaboration across galleries, not just artists within this space, but, you know, artists across the Bay Area. The other part of the vision would be to, you know, see more different types of artists here, bring in even, you know, families within the Castro that have an interest in this space and to keep it activated. And, you know, this may have been the beating heart at one point of the queer community. We hope that it becomes the same thing, but more contemporary, you know, more representational, more diverse, and, you know, just continuing that legacy, but bringing it to 2022 and 2023 and so on.
2048.
Ooh. Yeah, 2069.
We can say that on your show, right?
As far as the physical location of Queer AF in the future, is it ultimately your hope to try to stay in this space?
That would be the dream. Mostly because we don't want to move the furniture.
It is a lot of furniture that you said. You're opening the space officially on June 10th, right at the beginning of Pride Month 2022. What should people know about the opening? How can people come to the opening? Give me all the details.
Yes. Well, there is a bus that stops right at the top of the Castro, so that's a great way to get here.
Yeah, Muni's right up there too,
Muni
the Castro.
Right there. Yeah, we're going to be open 6 to 10. We're going to have a couple of DJs. We're going to have the sidewalk space cordoned off because we will have an occupancy limit inside. So we'll be letting people in and out based upon that to check out the space, enjoy the space, buy some queer art, celebrate your community. And then there'll be revelry out on the street and maybe a few performances here and there.
So it sounds like with most things that are exclusively for the LGBTQIA community, in order for this to be a success, the community has to really embrace it and show up for you guys. So how can people listening to this do that? How can people show up for both of you?
Come shop and buy art, first and foremost, and tell your friends. And since we are getting this off the ground, we are three people who are trying something. We are right now operating costs and getting the profit back to the artists. We are raising money. So we're about halfway to the goal that we set out for ourselves to be able to really do this the way that we want to do it. If you at in any way have the means and the ability to give to help support the vision, we have a GoFundMe. So that would be really, that would be deeply meaningful and deeply helpful to us, is to get some kind of financial support, or share with your friends, tell your friends with money. Because we know they're out there, it's a Bay Area. Yeah, but that, you know, like that's, it's, you know, money comes down to, so many things in this town come down to money. And so we want to be able to give it in as, you know, in as generous and diverse a way as possible.
We are not just about representation, we're about, you know, over-representation. What I like to call it is like representational reparations in a way. It doesn't have to just demonstrate, you know, the diversity of this community, but let's go above and beyond.
So I think representational reparations is a really good description for what we're trying to do here. We want this to be a place to promote and celebrate folks who have not historically been, not only in like in the larger American community, but specifically in the queer community. The Castro has, you know, got a pretty strong reputation as a space for white gay men. Even this space was specifically pretty exclusively in the 70s for white gay men. And so how that was the conversation around building it for what it is now, is that how do we make this space accessible for all the different communities, and specifically for the communities who still don't feel like they're represented or celebrated in this neighborhood and in the larger community. We really want to partner with organizations that have artists in their communities that maybe not have avenues to show their work or sell their work. We, you know, if you are looking for an opportunity, we are very open and we're excited to work with community organizations that have, you know, any idea. This space right now is, I won't say a blank slate because it's a cacophony, but it's a blank slate in terms of what is possible here. So if you have an idea or a thought, or please reach out to us, please, definitely, we would love to hear what you thoughts and ideas that you might have for working with us.
What's the website?
QueerArtsFeatured.com.
You've been listening to Out in the Bay, Queer Radio. I'm Christopher Beal. As Pride season gets underway, we'll be bringing you a full month of brand new shows from all over San Francisco. And we want to hear about your favorite Pride memory and, of course, about your Pride plans this year. What are you excited about? Send your story to outinthebay@yahoo.com. That's outinthebay@yahoo.com. Bonus, if you email us a voice note with your answer, we might use it on the air. You can catch up on past episodes, get in touch, sign up for our email newsletter, and make a donation. That's an important one. Outinthebay.org. Your donation helps us keep bringing queer air to your ears. We are a completely nonprofit, independent production and a very small team. We get no financial support from the radio stations that air Out in the Bay weekly, nor from NPR or podcast platforms. We rely on listener support. So if you like the show, we invite you to give. Thanks to Brad Payton and Richard Merck of Silicon Valley and Cornelia Enders of San Francisco for your generous support. And thanks also to KALW 91.7 FM in the San Francisco Bay Area and San Francisco Public Press and its radio station KSFP 102.5 FM for broadcasting Out in the Bay weekly. Don't forget to send us your story of your favorite Pride memory and your plans for Pride 2022. We might put you on Out in the Bay in June. Our email address is outinthebay@yahoo.com. That's outinthebay@yahoo.com. And if you have an idea for an episode of Out in the Bay, send it to that same email address or reach out to me directly on social media. I'm @RealChrisJBeal. Our executive producer is Eric Jansen, and this episode was produced by me and Sally Tomato. Thank you for your help. Our theme music is by Holly Mead. Thanks for checking in. I'm Christopher Beal, and I'll see you next week out in the Bay. Happy Pride!